Well, welcome to What Would You Do Differently? My name's Vanessa North. I'm your host for the podcast today. This podcast is where we talk to various leaders and business leaders who've had at least 10 years experience, and we've asked them to take a moment out of their busy lives and their working lives to have a chat with us and share with us an event or an experience that somehow has changed the direction of their life. So true stories. Hopefully, you'll be able to gain some insights or perhaps some little tips or maybe a little lesson that might help you with your own life or your own working life. And the whole idea here is to, you know, be a bit inspired or perhaps to identify with what somebody else is sharing and be able to kind of think about how that might help us. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Marina Pullen. Marina is an Aries, for those of you that need to know that kind of stuff. I'm a Sagittarius. Once again, if you don't need to know that, please disregard it. But Marina is an incredibly interesting person and has done, you know, a huge amount of things in her, what I would say is relatively short working life. Marina's, she's founded two businesses at least, so MCBI, a training and consultancy company here in Adelaide, but also The Jungle, the preeminent freelancer platform here in Australia. So if you're into freelancing, go and have a look and get in. So if you're looking for people to you know, work for you, contracts, whatever, you know, get in and have a look at what I can do for you. So fabulous platform. But Marina not only works in kind of the business area, but also has a number of other kind of strings to her bio. And one of which is she started a foundation called the Here for Good Foundation. She also serves on a number of boards and not-for-profits. So, you know, wide range of experience and incredibly interesting person. So, Marina, we're so pleased that you've come along today to sort of spend a bit of time with us. So what I'd like to ask you is about, you know, what is it? Can you tell us a story, an experience that you've had? And at the end, I'll ask you, you know, is there something that you would do differently if you had your time again?
Yes. Why, thank you for that incredibly embarrassing introduction. Other than the Aries part.
I didn't mention everything. That was the summary.
Sure, it's like Aries says it all. That's all you need to say. No, that's very nice of you. Thanks. And it's, yeah, it's cool. I like the opportunity for you to host and I get to chat about something that happened to me. All right. So I've been sitting on the other side being the host, but you can't help but start to think about your own sort of career and your journeys. And I mean, I've got the subtle cover-up thing that I just found on the to make myself look a bit glowier, but I'm quite old.
Yeah.
But I am quite old and I had to have a lot of different experiences, many of them pretty awful, to be honest. But the one that kept coming back to me when I was sort of like going through the photo album of all the people I've met, it was it's actually three or four experiences, maybe five, that, okay. Sorry, I'm not going to bore you with an hour-long expose.
Yeah, we've got 12 minutes.
No, hurry up. All right. So I was thinking about these experiences that really jumped out to me around how did it shape me, the impact it had on me, on personal and professional. And I think the reason my brain was cleverly circling around these four or five experiences is that they were basically the same. You know, change the people, and when you pull back enough, you look at it and go, oh, my God, I did that five times at least. Like, at least.
Well, I never learn.
Why don't I reflect more? Why don't I learn more? Because all of these have had profound commercial impacts as well. So let me tell you these stories, right? All exactly the same. They're all true. So I, I'm obviously working professional services, and I like to have really genuine relationships with my clients. It's very effortless for me to, if for lack of a better phrase, fall in love with my client's project or what they want to do. I'm like, yeah, yeah, love it. So I tend to overservice. I don't think I have a right to expect loyalty. I try to earn it through old-fashioned professionalism. And it's not been a terribly sophisticated model, but I think it has been a big part behind our success, just good old-fashioned service, solve, you know, problems, be reliable. Quite boring, actually, sort of like pretty boring. But it's definitely felt.
I was going to say, it might be boring, but, you know, the building those relationships is such an important part of business that maybe some people still got that lesson to learn.
Wow. Glad you said that. So I had all these, like, relationships with large organisations, happily servicing some of them for, like, over a decade. Like, crazy, you know, long-term relationships, great business, good solid growth, you know, it was good. Anyway, in each of these organisations, there was a change of leader or a change of a client contact. Now, it just happens, you know, these, this isn't a gender comment, but they just happen to all be female, right? It's nothing to do with the story other than I'm going to use the word she, and it's a collective she, all right? Mm-hmm. So the she. So I would go, I'd have these long-standing clients, amazing relationships, been doing good stuff, getting the five-star, little growth, respect. Then, boom, one day there'd be a new person as our interface. Now, every one of these people, I remember during my reflection period, now, probably should have done over the last 10 years, but every one of these, when I thought about it, I had exactly the same experience with them. First time I met them, I got the heebie-jeebies. That's the professional term for I like you. And I remember one of them in particular, as soon as I locked eyes on this woman, I went, I remember had almost like this feeling, like someone talking to me going, this is not going to go well. And it was, I've never really been able to put my finger on it, why this felt so uncomfortable. But here's my thoughts on it. These new people come in, they really want to assert themselves, present themselves as being marvelous to their organisation. Quite often I've enjoyed very broad, you know, sort of familiarity like you do with clients. And certain types of people don't like that. It's a weird thing. I only like to work with A graders and B graders. So if someone's like that, mate, I want to hitch my cart to you. But I think at different points in my career, I've been threatened by someone who appears to have more social sort of, so more social connections than I. Maybe I'm feeling a bit like uncomfortable, like a new role. So I look at that person as a competitor rather than as an ally. And I think in these stories that has played a bit into this, because I could walk, I mean, in one of those cases, I walk past the CEO and go, how you going? Like, you know, see you next Friday, have lunch, and a real sense of familiarity. And I, in that story, that one, I remember that person flinching, like, how do you know that CEO? And I'd be like, what do you mean? How I, you know, it was just all this weird stuff that happened. Okay, so they're all the same. All these weird moments when I first met them. Now, one of the people I'm going to pick out, because this one was an absolute corker, after my brain was saying, run, run, and I decided to ignore that naturally, red flag, wrap myself in it and say I look good in red.
Just rolled around, really made a go of that, yeah.
Yeah, why listen? Why listen to your intuition when you can put your hand in the fire? So I elected to put my hand in the fire. Anyway, this lady started to, you know, did the right thing, account management, talking to her, Then she started to ask all these really weird questions, like really weird. What was going, like weird questions that were like really personal questions. And I'm quite a sort of a cheerful type of person, so I always give people a bit of benefit of the doubt if they sort of step over the line. And then I sort of gently go, nah, it takes a long time for me to know you, but, you know, banter's fine. No, this lady was, I think, was quite keen on breaking some boundaries. And I felt it was almost visceral. I could felt like she was like asking me and trying to, you know, scoop up a bit of information about me. And it was really quite instinctive. All my hackles went up and I was like, oh, this is really odd. I'm here to talk about consulting and I feel like I'm getting, I don't know, something's being taken away from me. I actually don't even know the words for it, but it was a really weird feeling. But I know when I got back in the car and I sat back in the car after this first meeting with this person, I remember I had this doomsday feeling. I went, that's it. That account's gone. That's it. Well, I'm done. We're done. Whole thing's done because of this person, like just the way she behaved. Now, this is a moment I want to pause about leadership behavior. And because you know about leadership, yeah, you're amazing. But I'm lucky enough to work across very senior people. Yeah, I'm a director of some large organizations and stuff. So I get to sort of work up there. But I've always been like a frontline person. So I tend to go up and down the stack, so to speak. You know, I don't really, I'm just as comfortable sitting in a contact center to learn how something works as I am sitting in the boardroom. That part has never bothered me. But I got to tell you, this is connected to the story, believe it or not. Just stay with me.
I'm with you. I'm on tenterhooks.
I know. Great CEOs and great directors, like great senior people, all have the same attributes. Yeah, they must all be Aries or Sagittarius, sorry. They're all the same. They're very, most of them are really like smart. They've just got this natural, you know, sort of, they're not stupid people. Like, oh, yeah, they can process some info. Most of them listen really well. That's a massive part. They listen. And you can tell they're listening because you feel differently when you're dealing with them. You don't feel like they're in a hurry. Like you feel there's something powerful about someone who says, don't worry about anything here. I've got this room. I'm only focused on you. I also find great leaders are reliable. They don't lie. They don't need to. And most of them just get shit done. And they've got this way that just gets shit done and everyone then signs up because getting shit done is very motivating. They don't waste time, you know. But this idea of being reliable and, you know, this behaviour stuff, being organised and all that stuff is something I have seen for 20 years. Okay, hold that thought. Back to the main story. All of those five people were terrible professionals as well.
That kind of goes against my belief that people often get promoted because they're good at what they do, but they're lousy leaders because they're different skill sets.
I'm talking really seen, like really good people, whether they're a director or a CEO or whatever, I don't know, a business unit leader, but those ones right at the top, that middle management layer, that is tiger country. There is some shit going on in that layer that people need to examine.
It's on the wild west sometimes.
That layer, mate. I know they're getting pressure from the top and the pressure from the bottom, but wow, there's some weird stuff going on at that middle layer. And these five all had the same attributes. They were disorganized. One in particular infuriated me because she would go, do you think you could like just organize this like little thing? I'm not going to say her name because But I would put two of them, I did all this work for them, organised this stuff, really, and I have a tendency to put my heart and soul into stuff. I feel this real sense of, you know, being reliable is important to me. And I do this stuff. One of them, I reckon, like the day before I was going to do the briefing to her, took me about 40 hours to build this thing for her. Sorry, something else, some more importance come up. More important.
Okay, she didn't beat around the bush then.
But it was this power, every touch point felt like a power game. It was this really petty, that's the word I'm going to use, right? Petty, scratching at a bit of power, want to knock this one off her seat, don't know, don't really care about, you know, whatever. I'm sure there's another side to it, but for me, as a long-term supplier, I had to spend a lot of time making sure I didn't think of the company poorly because of one person.
One person.
And Yeah, and that was actually quite difficult because of the way this one, it was always this one person, and they all the same, disorganized, just never got back to you. Like, and you can just shit. Shit professionals.
Just tell it like it is, yeah.
I work with CEOs of banks, right? And that's not a humble brag, but those people are so fucking busy and they are so, have got so many things on their shoulders. They are just naturally good at being decent. Most of them are very decent at that level. The same with directors. And then you get to this middle management and they're like, oh, no, too busy. Typically, got to take my kids, you know, to go look at a dog tooth on Thursday. I can't attend that political briefing. But I'm only going to give you 4 hours notice. So everyone else is lined up. No. No, and I'm being vulnerable about how I feel about it.
I think that as you just mentioned there, which resonated with me about, you know, with only a few hours notice, you know, things do come up and sometimes, you know, you've got to make a decision about what's more important. But to kind of leave it to the last minute when it's not really an emergency, and you would have, it sounds like you would have put in like hours of work for this to then just kind of be
hours.
And just thought actually something more important. It's like crushing. So
all right, so I probably wasn't crushed. I just thought poorly of them.
Yeah.
And in my head I went, that is a terrible professional who can't just be good to their word. You know, or I'd never rely on them in any capacity. And I can't believe I'm the only one being treated like that either. Hopefully not. Hopefully. All right.
I suppose I'm thinking there, you know, crushing for the relationship as well, because, after that, what kind of faith do you have? So tell us what happened next.
What happened next? Mm-hmm. Barely nothing, exactly as my gut predicted right at the beginning, got strung along, IP taken, nothing commercial. So I eventually just went, my dignity has been pushed too far. I cannot keep chasing these people. And it's awkward because there's two of them actually CEOs I know, and they always ask me, how are we doing with so-and-so? And I always want to say, your middle management suck. We're not doing anything, but I don't because I don't think that's how professionals should behave.
So it's tough, but they might need to know. But then how do you, when you're a supplier and the relationship's different, that's a very difficult conversation, I imagine.
I think at some point you just have to go, well, if your organisation can't figure out you've got this dreadful middle management layer who are treating suppliers like shit, and hurting your reputation, but also just hurting your supply chain, you know, increasing risk for often very petty reasons. And all of these contacts I'm talking about, they all weaponized the emotional intelligence stuff. They were definitely, every one of them tapped into, and they could sniff in me someone who was a hard worker and was very keen to, not a people pleaser, but I have a very high standard I set for myself, and I like to do a good job. I feel very loyal towards my clients, you know, and one of them, I actually worked on a Sunday to help out her family.
I think that's called above and beyond.
I think so, my friend, above well and truly, right? But I think intrinsically, I think I've been one of those people that you think if you do the right thing, that it'll somehow that'll be reciprocated, or there's some level of decency that goes two way. And if there was an issue, that they would actually talk to you. You know, you think that the strength of the relationship is there, but it wasn't. And it was just new people who jumped in. Yeah.
And your gut was telling you that, but your head was kind of overriding, I suppose, saying, you know, this is a business thing. I've got to stay professional, you know, whatever. So, Marina, that brings me to, given this story, which ends with you trying to help someone's family, what would you do differently if you had your time again? And probably you will have your time again with these clients. They'll just be different ones with different names. So what would you do differently?
Well, I don't think the five, they just keep popping up. You go, oh, look at you, there you are again. Oh my God, you even dressed the same as the other one. So what would I do differently? I did think about this quite a lot, actually. I think it was really worthwhile. One of the problems, I think, when you have like a heartfelt business sense like I do, it makes you very vulnerable to people taking the piss. And I don't know if that's a professional phrase. I don't remember it.
I think it's been used before, that term.
Okay, yeah. Take it, please. I'm going to have to put a little R rating on this one. But this weird tension that I think I have spoken to others about, but I'm telling myself, right? Business is about transactions. Doesn't mean it has to be cold. Doesn't mean it has to be whatever. But in this reflection time, I was reminded of how much I love business because of the people part of it. The people part, I think business is an exciting part of our society where you get to find yourself, hang out with new different people, do projects, extend yourself in ways that hobbies and sports doesn't allow you to. So I've always held business as a concept in very high regard. But I think there's a naivety that's been with me around people within that honeycomb of business. And I have always worked very hard to trust my clients and to be trustworthy myself. One of the gaps that I would do differently is having a healthier tension with commercial arrangements. I just go, no, that's number one. I just go, nah. Sorry, mate, I'm not doing that.
It's not going to work for me, yeah.
Sunday morning, I'm going to yoga and, I just wouldn't. But I think deep down I was thinking that would strengthen our relationship. It's a bit mixed, but it was a good reflection for me to do it. The other thing I'm going to do differently is maintain a bit of distance across the board. There are people that I just naturally warm to. I'm just like, oh, let's all be friends. And I run into their arms and oh. And
metaphorically.
Metaphorically, though, when I did work in defence, they actually did touch me inappropriately. So.
Oh, okay. We'll leave that one.
That's another story.
And do you think that's going to be difficult for you because you're a very kind of giving person? And, I've always found that, with you that what you see is what you get. I've never felt from you there's some hidden agendas, but we know other people operate that way, which can also make you a little bit vulnerable.
I've actually one of those five people actually asked that. Like, you could see they're like, you're not really that cheerful. And this, I'm also going to say every single one of those people warmed up, tried to stick their little latches in me, and then started doing little passive aggressive weird comments, which I don't need in my life, but one of those clients said to me, like, what's it like being a funny nerd?
What a bizarre question.
I reckon that was, I was like, oh,
funny. Well, I don't know.
Everything that's great gross about it. So for me, what would I do differently? Commercials, bit of emotional distance. Definitely listen to my gut, like everyone is saying here, going, that very first moment that I crept off and I wanted to have a shower after meeting one of them, I was just like, ugh, disgusting. I should have listened to that. And that's a pretty visceral, powerful response I had. And I just went, what's that? Intuition? I will ignore that. And I paid a price for it. The other thing I would do, though, from a very businessy point, and we do try to, but we always try to diversify our relationships. So do you have more than one connection into an organisation just to prevent these single points of risk? It's not always easy because quite often clients will appoint like an interact, like a partner manager or a client manager or what have you, so you sort of for efficiency. But if you get some terrible person in there who holds the relationship or, I don't know, doesn't like cheerful nerds or whatever other slight.
I mean, that's a really interesting point because, yeah, what you've kind of described and what I've got from your story there as well is that sometimes those things that we put so much into and over a period of time, you said, you know, you've had long-term relationships. Now, one person in that role that comes in can ruin the entire kind of business relationship, which up until then, you know, had been working for both parties. And, yeah, that's an interesting kind of point to look at, well, how do we maintain that overall business relationship rather than just the one with the person in the chair at the time that you're dealing with them? Yeah. Well, Marina, that has been fabulous hearing your stories. And I've certainly been thinking myself as we've been talking about, you know, some similar situations that I've been in or some that we've perhaps discussed before over the years. And I'm sure other people have some little aha insightful moments as well. So after today's session, you may think, I want to know more about this funny nerd Marina. She sounds like a fabulous gal because I'd say I'm probably a bit of a funny nerd as well. I think it's a good thing, you know.
It wasn't delivered like in a good way.
We're clever, but not too serious, you know, and committed and really looking to make a difference with the people that we work with and to want to work with people who are like-minded. And, you know, I've got to say, I think that's, you know, that's something that that I aspire to as well. And I'm sure with some of the folks who are going to be continuing on this podcast, we'll have some more fabulous stories and insights to share. So Marina's details will be available after the podcast here if you're looking at it rather than just listening to it. Or also you can connect with Marina on LinkedIn or just do a bit of a Google. You'll find her in all sorts of places doing some wonderful stuff. So thanks so much, Marina, for sharing your time with us, and we'll see you in the jungle.
Thank you. Thank you very much.